Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We are grateful to welcome you onto our Friday fellowship, Words from the Word, the ministry of LFC, and I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton. I am blessed to be a part of the vision of Apostle Dr. Shawn F. Houghton taking over the airways for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have tuned in to our Friday fellowship of Words from the Word. We have done some studying, and we have come to Christ, our Redeemer, and his words in the next seven words after his resurrection has comforted us as we started this journey. Our souls have been prepared for the bounty of a harvest by the gardener. Our great teacher is revealing the mysteries of his love. And we have been led to green pastures by the good shepherd as we progress in our maturity. And we are exploring our next adventure in the Word through the work of our husbandman. We are in his care, as Christ has invited us to abide in him. Come beyond the doorway and experience the unspeakable joy of dwelling with the King of Kings. We will be studying a 31-day devotional work of Andrew Murray, Abide in Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Good morning, saints. You're live, you're on the air. We're dialoguing, we're interactive, and we want to welcome you. Good morning to our listeners.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We want to make sure we include during this study each opening with reading our support scripture in different versions. And so we read it last week, John 15, 1 through 12, in the Message Bible, I believe. And I wondered if someone had the Amplified Bible to read our support scripture as Andrew Murray takes his text from this scripture in his book, Abide in Christ. The joy of being in God's presence. So if someone is getting that for us, we want to remind everyone that we are looking at day one. We've looked at the prefix, and we've come up with what our goals are. Why are we doing this? Why are we looking at this book? And what do we expect to get from this book? And so I do pray that everyone has made that assessment and you have your notebooks and your paper ready to record some things as well as to share things that you have already read as you have journeyed in this study. It is full of information. So much ministry takes place in two or three pages, very quite simply, and yet profoundly presented, packed with treasures that stimulate our hearts and our minds on behalf of our Christian journey. So does someone have that scripture for us in the Amplified Bible? Okay. Is someone getting that scripture for us in the Amplified Bible? Okay, I make sure I put everybody on speaker. Scripture for us in the, amen, in the Amplified Bible.
Mr. Paulette, I'm not home, so I don't
no problem.
Amplified, and I didn't hardly hear the scripture. What is the scripture here?
The scripture is John 15, chapter 1 through 12. And I guess
I have it. I have it.
Okay. Amen.
Okay.
All right.
All right. From the Amplified Bible, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that continues to bear fruit, he prunes, repeatedly prunes, so that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you, the teaching which I have discussed with you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers and dies. And they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And do I need to go up until what?
12.
Okay. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united and my message live in your heart, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified and honored by this. When you bear much fruit and prove yourself to be my true disciple, I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love and do not doubt my love for you. If you keep my commandments and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. This is my
Amen.
Commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you.
Amen, amen. And I do hope that as she was reading that out of the Amplified, that you took note of certain terms and certain words and certain phrases, because they become key. They become key elements in this abide with me that Christ is saying. Abide in me that Christ is saying. And I have to be so careful with those prepositions because they really do make a difference. They make a very big difference. And so throughout this book, the author is going to bring up some elements that are necessary for us as we abide. And he starts off with, in our day one, all you who have come to him. And this is his phrase that he's basing this first day on. And so we were admonished to investigate that first word, all. So I've asked, is Dr. Deborah on the line, can share with us that all, the implication of that all. Hello?
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
When I was reading through this, I went back and looked at
Matthew, because it references Matthew 11:28, and it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I was kind of looking at it in that, the all in that context, that this is a requirement for anyone who comes to him. Mm-hmm. All who come to him, anyone who has come to him, and to understand that when we come to him, he gives us rest. And he knows that we're coming in a way where we might be burdened down and frustrated. And that 28th verse says that anyone that labors and are heavy laden, and the rest comes in him, and that rest comes by abiding in him. Because as you go on to read more in this whole first day, where it talks about how we've wandered away from him, but the source, the divine, you know, is the source, you know, that we are the branches and must be engrafted in, but the rest actually comes when we come and are truly engrafted and abide in him, dwell in him, if you will. It also talks about that as being like an abode, that we come and that we make our home in him. We come and we rest in him. It took me back to working and the whole idea of, if we are heavy laden and we can have rest, that there was, we had a place at my job where we called it the decompression room. And when you felt, because we were dealing with customers, generally angry people all day, call after call after call for the most part. And we had a place that was called the decompression room. And when you really just had, you know, like too much where you felt like you were going to lose it, you could just kind of go in there. It was kind of, let's say it was kind of dark, kind of dimly lit, a comfortable place just to rest. You just came in, and when you were heavy laden, you just kind of rested. You didn't really do anything. It was no TV, no music. You just kind of came in and gave yourself over to this quiet, kind of unassuming space, and it brought me back to that when it was saying all, and anybody could come in whenever you felt you were at that point that you were, you know, heavy laden, and we would come and, you know, we would stay with him, kind of just talking about the grace that God gives us is the way when I was just looking at the all, that anyone who came, that you didn't have to have a special circumstance. All you had to do was be in Christ, come to him, and this is what was available. His grace, his rest was available to all. All you had to be was, you know, to be a believer and be in need of that rest, you know, to be able to come and abide, and it was an open invitation. You know, that if we had wandered away, we can come back and be in fellowship. You know, because to me, the whole John 15 doesn't talk about being outside of a relationship. It means being outside of a fellowship is the way that I interpret that. And so the things that get you out of that fellowship sometimes are our own stuff, you know, our own busyness, our own financial issues, our own wandering and just drifting away. I think I had mentioned last week that it was Oswald Chambers who says that we don't consciously and deliberately disobey God. We just don't do what he says. We don't make a conscious and deliberate decision to say, hey, today I'm not going to obey what the commandments are that Elder Pat just read. But that we just kind of drift away. And so when we find ourselves, the further we get away, you know, the further we get away, the more we know that we are in need of that abiding and that rest.
And, you know, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I know the author, he brings up some points that we want to look at. And I realized that as you were speaking, and it's kind of the perspective that the author came from as well. But as you were speaking about the all, and you got to it at, you know, near the end, but it's indication that we remember when this was being written and who it was being written to. And because the world was about to change, and so there were certain people that were forbidden to do certain things. Everything wasn't for everybody when Christ came. They were for the children of Israel. They were for the Jewish nation. And so he was about to shift that. And so he was, I felt as he shared this all, he was making a declaration that this shift had come, and now there was something going to be available to everybody. As you said before, just whoever, not even believers, because this is before. He says, all you who have come to him, so all that came to him believing. And so it wasn't just the scribes and the Pharisees of the Jewish nation. This became something that was going to be available to the Gentiles and to the sinners, to the tax collectors and all of those that were considered unclean and unworthy, that this was going to change. This all was a part of the glue or the fabric of this new covenant that Christ was bringing. And so to put that on, not you who have come to him, as though it be indicating those in the past or you who have come, but that
right, like a select group.
Pardon? Yes, exactly.
I said like a select group.
Exactly. Now it was becoming all-inclusive. This liberty was, and this opportunity was being available to everyone. And so when we start reading, you know, we want to shift our thinking. He really is talking about me. Because I think most times when we read scripture, there are some things that in our passion and in our misery and in our deep need, we grab it and we make it ours. But there's a lot that is said, we just don't think it's ours. That's because we don't have that deep need for that particular thing, or we don't understand the level of what that particular thing is offering to us. And so we kind of just read past it. You know, you'll get that one thing that hits where you are right now, and you'll stop, you'll grab it, and you will make it yours. And I want us to start to look at every week what promise, you know, because he later talks about some things here. Even on the first day, he says, you have experienced that his word was true. He fulfilled all his promises. And so when I read that, I thought, no, that's not really necessarily true. When we came to Christ, we didn't know all of his promises. We had not experienced all of his truth, nor had we been made partakers of the blessings and joy of full salvation. We were coming right at the if you will, right at the beginning, at the door. We had no idea what was beyond that door, other than that promise, those promises that we did know. He would forgive my sins. I won't go to hell. I can go to heaven. You know, that he loved me. There were some certain things that we did embrace, but even that was on such a new birthing level, okay? That love and that joy, those two things, we didn't know when we were first saved. We didn't Yes.
I was going to say that, you know, the author talks about when the offer is to come, that if we would have stayed in that place, I mean, he intimates kind of like if we would have stayed in that moment of glory, if you will, when he said come, when the word come through us, then we would have understood that the next word was abide in, like come to,
exactly.
And then abide in, all kind of like all is one. I don't even know how to say it. All is kind of like one thing, but it's to me when I'm reading this, it seems as though he's saying, you know, with that come, we are so enamored by the come. and the love of God that would allow us to come in, that we're excited about the come, that we don't even really understand that what keeps us, what sustains us, is the abiding in. You know,
and that's why
he says, you know, the intercourse was not to be unbroken, but most intimate and complete. And so that part two of that, or that second clause of that, a lot of times we have to learn, because we get excited about the come, and now, you know, hell is not going to be our eternal home, but, you know, are we going to be walking in victory and obedience and seeing the manifestation of the resurrected power, which only comes by the abiding.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't come by the coming.
I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, this is progressive, and it's step by step. And a lot of times, just like you said, we don't understand the abide in me. So what he is presenting to us, we want to see, where is it in our process, and what should that part look like? So what I'm looking at as he's saying this, and he says, because on the next page he says, or before that he says, the half has not been told me, but we didn't know that. You know, there was only a certain level of the knowledge we had when we first came to him. And these things were not a part of our understanding, because we had not walked yet with him. And so I was looking at this as the shepherd starts out with the sheep, okay? And, yes, they belong to him, and he has this plan for them, but they're not aware of how they can embrace it because of their own nature and their own fear. And so we are accepting this come, he's come to me. We accept it, but we are relational people. And so when he says come, we know how to come. We know how to escape, you know, and run from that which is bad to that which is good when Holy Spirit brings the conviction for us. But because we are basically, when we come to him, we are relationally dysfunctional. And we don't understand that kind of intimacy when we first come. Just like a babe does not understand the intimacy of marriage when they're first born, and they have to get there. And so it's that getting there that, as I was reading, what he was saying was that, you know, have we fallen short on those, because he says you wander away, but was it that we wandered away, or we weren't late to that place to know to stay? What does abide mean? As the sister said last week, that's a church word. So if I'm not a church person, but now I'm a new believer, I have to get to understand what that definition of abide means. And that definition of abide is connected to a relational wholeness that most people don't have when they come to Christ. And then I thought about labors for Christ, and I thought about the different requirements we have when you first come into the ministry or the church. And there's a form that the Lord gave Apostle, a relational questionnaire. And so many people kick it. I don't know anybody that did it and did it without some kind of objection. And yet when I read this, I thought about how profound God was establishing a tool for us to know where we are relationally, so that that can be healed, so that we can understand how to abide. Because this relational intimacy that he's talking about, you don't even get that when you first have a relationship with a person. But you build up to it. And so as he was sharing this, you know, was not his welcome most hearty, his pardon more full and free. And that was awesome. And I know we all felt that when we came to Christ, and how liberating and free it was. But how so often after that, then you go and it's like, okay. And he says on the next page, and yet you have had to complain of disappointment. As time went on, your expectations were not realized. The blessings
you had once enjoyed were lost. The love and the joy of your first meeting with your Savior, instead of deepening, have become faint and feeble. And I thought about it, faint and feeble, because I'm not being drawn or discipled as people should be, you know, when they first come to Christ. And so excited, and yet it's on a Sunday. And then I looked at the first church. They did it 7 days a week with one another. And then, just like the scripture said, the ministry of one another in that John 15 near the end, that's one of the things that has to be in place. And so that's something that has to be a part of the journey in order for us to abide in Christ. We have to have those around us that are abiding in Christ, not just on a Sunday, but on a regular fellowshipping experience and walk. And then I thought about the accountability partners. All of these things are elements that would help us not, as the author says, stray or get lost, but rather it will help lead us to that place where abiding becomes understandable in our spirit. Because at best, we're going to think about our relationship with God when we come to Christ, as you often heard pastors and preachers say, how your relationship is with your Father, you know, that's why and how sometimes it is with Christ in the beginning, because we have to unlearn some things, which he does say. We have to forget those things that, you know, and we become a new creature, and this new creature has to be imprinted, but they have to be imprinted from the Word, because that's the other thing that says in John 15, he says that you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. That means his teaching. And I can't remember the term the Amplified used at that point. You may help me, Elder Pat, but it was those things that we'll say, go and read this or do this book. There's some churches that have new member classes, and yet you talk to most people, and even in looking at applications and things, one of the questions that Apostle has on them, have you been to a discipling class? And most people say no. When they were saved, and even our little children, after little children, are they go to discipling class? No, they go to Sunday school class. And that teaches them these stories of the Bible. Absolutely. It teaches them principles in the Bible. Absolutely. But it doesn't teach them relationships. And this abide is a relationship. And so, and we'll see that as we go into day two, which is the rest of that scripture that Elder was making reference to, you know, that come unto me, all ye that labor. But even before that, as we came and as he shared this, it says, come to stay with me. And yet most people in relationships, we come, and even in the beginning, in our walk with Christ, when we came, we received, and he talks about that, you know, those great moments, those powerful times of fellowship, and then we go home. And then what we're doing is like going and getting some Jesus and then going back to our life instead of, as he says, abide in me, and not just getting Jesus in our life, but rather getting us in Christ's life. And so we want Christ to walk with us. We want to take him where we go, where we should have go, where he is going. And the only way to know where he is going is to learn of him, is to get that knowledge that will cleanse us from old thoughts and old behaviors, old thinking processes, old experiences that have soured or hurt or wounded us. And it's his word that brings that cleansing, that allows that that being bound to him to stick. Because she kept mentioning in her reading of that scripture that solid type of connection that has to be there. But remember, in that engrafting, that happens as that piece of branch is scraped and cleaned, you know, with a knife, that process and all of that old is scraped off. So it doesn't just drop off because you disconnected it from the other, but rather it's scraped off. And that in itself also includes a process, and that process includes time. And so we expect at salvation so often that euphoric wonder that we get initially, but it's not shared with us how this is a continuous walk that gets better and better and better. And I don't mean not share with us, you'll hear the testimony, but you don't hear the how. How do you get there? And so many people, they read, they'll read their word, they'll read, but they don't get it. And it's not that Holy Spirit isn't working. It's that it takes the fellowship of the saints. It takes the ministry of one another to cause the word of God to come alive. It comes out of the Bible, and we experience it through the lives of those around us, which is why it is so important to have that fellowship, to have that more than Sunday time. Because if you Sunday time and you go home and you're not in a safe house, you're not in a safe a work situation, so you take it, but then you what you take is attacked, I'll put it that way. But if you abide in him and not take him with you, but go with him because you're following him where he leads you, and if he leads you to work, then you're following him to work. You're not taking him to work with you. You're with him. You're in him. And so it's a different perspective. And so you will see it little by little, progressing steps, and yet that we're not encouraged in that progression. We are almost not condemned, but we are judged when we don't just get there. And then we evaluate ourselves for not being there. Well, I'm saved, so I should be this, that, and I'm not. And that's where disappointment comes in. It comes in because our judgment is being, the standard of our judgment are those around us, not the word of God. Because if it's the word of God, we will start to understand some things, and that is that it is Christ who does it all. So we are where he has led us. If we have been disobedient, Holy Spirit will let us know, and then that's for us then to repent. So we don't berate the fact that I don't have this great blessed life, but instead what I have is a new life that is blessed. So it's not that it's going to look a certain way other than it's going to have an eternal view and no longer an earthly and a temporal view. And so all of that takes training of the mind, which takes thinking. You know, we think earthly in when we come to Christ, not eternally. It's very difficult for a human person to think eternally. You know, we and they'll say, you know, you love God, you want to go to heaven, and they'll say, yeah, but not now. If we thought eternally, even the right now would be okay. If we understood the joy and the love and all the promises of what's to come, then death would not have a sting, because Christ said it does. But we're just not there yet because we still think on some level earthly. And that's okay because we have a earthly responsibility to other people so that they can know.
Overseer, can I just interject? Do you really think that it is strictly or that one of the main tenets is our mindset for eternal life as opposed to
absolutely
the obedience of the word can be very inconvenient to our flesh.
We're saying the same thing. The thing is, the flesh is temporal, so it has to die. And the thing that lives is spiritual, and that's what's eternal. which if we don't have that eternal mindset, then we the struggle, that's why people say, no, it's hard. It's hard.
But don't you think we do have an eternal mindset and we misuse the grace that is daily bestowed on us? I'm just talking about myself.
No,
I'm thinking, you know, I think that
probably. But then, how long have you been walking in Christ? How long have you been doing it? So we're thinking where
you
we
mean
are
the good or the bad? When you say that, I'm not sure what you're referring to. When you said how long have you been walking in Christ?
Saying,
you mean obediently or disobediently?
I mean,
how long
process,
has it been?
You know. Well, I'm just saying that in your process, in my process, we weren't saved yesterday, okay? We didn't receive this come unto me yesterday, you know, and so we have gone through a process. How much of that process have we shared with other people, the details of it in ministry, so that there were those that understood how to get to eternal mindset? Because he says, first of all, it's something that has to be renewed. Our mind, and that takes time, that takes teaching, that takes fellowship, that takes leading, just like that whole thing with the good shepherd. And so I don't think that the average person that comes to Christ, when they come, have an eternal view. They have an eternal fear, they're not real sure of, but they do, and they have a hope for it, absolutely. But we don't have a God's eye view of faith. Because if we had a God's eye view of things, yes. The most important thing of what we do would. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I hear what you're saying as well. But there are several things that I was hearing about the abiding. If you're not, you said a fellowshipping. Well, a lot of times, In fellowshipping together, I think things happen in the fellowshipping together with people. And so I think that it may affect their abiding. And then, again, like
Absolutely.
You said, if you don't understand the abiding, and then if you're not being taught about focusing on the eternal, then you wouldn't even know to focus or that
Absolutely.
You should be focusing on the eternal. And then I looked at it as like a marriage as well. When couples get married, the bliss and the wonder and all of that. And then after a while, the communicating isn't the same, just like with when you first come into relation with the Lord. The communication begins to drop off sometimes. And then you said, like, in some people just, they read the word daily. And I'm thinking maybe sometimes you're reading the word, but are you listening? You know, are you really listening to it? You're reading it, but are you listening to it? Are you absorbing it in a way? Because sometimes you can be reading it, but you're not absorbing it. You're not retaining it. So therefore, you know, the abiding cannot come forth because it's not getting into your spirit. And thirdly, some people don't even know they have the Holy Spirit. They don't understand Holy Spirit, you know, or if I can say it like that, you know. They'll say, oh, I don't have the Holy Spirit because of our teaching. So I think it's a lot of things that come into play with the abiding. And then as I was reading our book for biblical studies, Victory Over the Self-Centered Life, something came to my attention about hardening, you know, when things happen, injured, when you're injured, then you kind of, your heart sometimes begin to harden. And I'm thinking that God has failed you or God has, you know, forsaken you or what have you. And that's example of the abiding process slipping away or not being able to come into fruition.
And wow.
Absolutely. And it's all a matter of what is the environment that we find ourselves in. And when I said fellowship with those that are like-minded. And that means even if error happens in a fellowship, then we have all of those things we do. Forgive, confess your faults one to another. The Word tells us what to do even in those imperfect fellowships, but we don't do that. And so that's part of, as you said, what causes people to want to disconnect from the vine. And yet, if we, in the teaching of the vine, it should make us want to cling even the more to one another, because I would know that if you don't abide, you are going to wither and be thrown into the fire. And if I understood that, fully understood that, then my abiding and my fellowship with my brothers and sisters would look different. We would score higher on the fruit of the Spirit, you know, than we do. You know, we would have a better mindset of how we even interact with one another. Now, just because it doesn't work doesn't mean we're not supposed to do it, because the Word says that's what it takes. When we just look at John 15:1-12, that's what it takes. It takes teaching. It takes studying. And we even said not just reading the Word, you really have to study. And in order to study, that's another good point you brought up, that, you know, I wanted us to see, you know, what do we teach about Holy Spirit when people join church? And in some denominations. You know, I know that me as a Baptist, what was taught, now I was told that he does come to all believers. They told me that. But I was also told that the manifestation was you got happy. You shouted. Okay, and I never shouted. I didn't even wasn't sure what happy was. So all of these things that we share in, let's say, we'll say it as the sister said last week, sometimes our Bible terms, they're religious terms. And when a person is coming from carnality to spirituality, those terms don't create the correct learning environment because they're distorted and they're misinterpreted. And so, you know, how many, you know, classes or studies have we on the person of Holy Spirit? You know, so some people, even though they say it, they hear it, they read it, but they don't think of him as a person. They just didn't when you first come to Christ. And so there are teachings that has to happen. There are so many things you can even share with people that are in the church, that's in the Word of God, and they'll tell you, oh, no, you don't have to do that, or that's not really what it means, or it doesn't take all of that. I mean, and so these are all mindsets that surround people that causes them to lose their way, as the author is saying, to not abide. Because this is, we almost get to the point where man sees man in us and they don't see Christ in us. And so it becomes our desire and our passion to die daily, to truly die. Don't say, this is how I am and God is still working on me. Then crucify your flesh. Do what Scripture says. Embrace it in such a way that has no compromise and it has no graying. It is, as they say, it is what it is and it is no more. I remember one of the wonders, and I had to get all the sins in the Bible. And so when I found the website that lists these sins, and it was a bunch of over 600 that were mentioned specifically. And so when I was shared with people, in fact, when I first read it, I went, oh, well, yeah, you know, because, yeah, I fell short big time. But then when I realized and started sharing, I mean, it just didn't believe. They didn't believe it. No, that's not it. Because we're not always at a place where we can accept honestly how wrong we are, because we have the righteousness of Christ. And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just a revelation that we come into the knowledge of. And that's why he says, let certain blessings abound as we come into the knowledge of. And that's what we're doing. And that's what abiding does. But and I just wanted to let us
know there's okay.
a book to fix us. This is a book that should fix the church. And everything that is, every vision, every ministry that everybody on this phone line has been called to must be perfected in the Word of God so that this process will be embraced by those coming into the knowledge of Christ. They won't feel condemned. They don't feel like I can't come now. I have to wait till I get myself together. How many times have we heard that? Because
all
they know
the
when they come, people will be looking for a certain thing, and if they do not see it, they feel unaccepted. They feel rejected. And they do, and we do, okay? And we have to come into the truth of this thing is specific based on the Word of God, not doctrine, not my interpretation. Yeah, that's why I want everybody to come when he accepts promise. Okay, it says, fear not. And I know that was one of mine that delivered me. And there's a promise that delivered you. And you have to get that promise. And then have you shared it or have you imparted it through your living so that it lives out loud? Even when it's challenged by you, you do not cave in. And so there are so many perfecting elements that God has already established that we do not embrace. Now, one of the things the author says is, and this is just on the second page, he has destined you to something better than a short-lived, blessed, be it enjoyed only at times of special earnestness and prayer, and then pass away as you return to those duties in which a far greater part of your life is spent. And so when I read that, it's like, how many times are you told, just right now, this is Lent season, okay? Lent season, you're going to give up some stuff. You're going to, okay, and get this, the Christian season of preparing for Christ, what he's done. It's a time when we observe a period of fasting, repentance, moderation, self-denial, and spiritual discipline. That's something we should do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days or 66 days a year. The purpose is to set aside time for reflection on Jesus Christ, his suffering, his sacrifice, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Come unto me and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. That's what this is saying. So this is not something that should just happen at Lent time, and yet it is. And I'm guilty, guilty, guilty. And this is why I'm saying, so when outsiders come, it's like, okay, it's only a certain time during a certain period, you know, where this blessedness is just going to overwhelm me and overtake me, and then I go back to life. No, I don't go back to that life. I stay here. When we stay
Amen.
In this place
Amen.
of you know, when we stay there, we are then told we're peculiar, something wrong with us, it don't take all it. You know, it's not something that people will embrace. But it's interesting that because this is a relationship of a new love that we have never, I don't care how much you've loved somebody, until you have gotten in a mature love relationship with God, you don't know how to love. You don't. And we name all of those. Pardon?
And when you finish, I just wanted to say something in regards to what you were saying.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, when you were speaking about that, and you had mentioned what the Amplified Bible has said, even mm-hmm. in Corinthians, when they were saying without abiding in,
it was, in parentheses, it was given being vitally united to. And when I was looking up vitally, was, put my glasses on. When I was looking up vitally, it was, it stated that it was concerned with a necessary to the maintenance of life. It was full of life with vigor. It reminded me with we as a Christian, when we become first salvation and receive God, that zeal that we had, it was like necessary, essential. We had a vigor. We were so excited about being in God's presence and learning more of Him. But as time go on, and I'm just speaking of myself, sometimes you get stagnated. You lose that hope or that joy or that fear. And this book, when it was given to me, it was like, wow. It was like an eye-opener and an awakening. And then it also talked about vitality being indispensable, being fundamental. But it also spoke about distinguishing the living from the non-living. You know, you was talking about discipleship and how we maybe never had took a class in disciple or even understood as Jesus, the 12 that walked with him, how we supposed to disciple and walk with others. And when I even thought about vital, when I thought about medically, it says the vital organs as the heart and the brain. These are the essential parts. And then I thought about the vital signs, the pulse, the respiration, our body temperature, our blood pressure. All these are essential. So if we look at abiding, it has to be vitally we are united with Christ and realize the importance and essential and that it is. It has to be our breath, and we can't even stop breathing enough to not. I mean, it has to be every minute. We have to come. We have to abide in Him. We have to remain in Him, and no matter what situation or what circumstances, what Elder was saying, what you were saying, and what Pastor. Everyone was saying, it has to be our breath. You know, it has to be withholding nothing. It has to be so essential. And it got me back to a course when I got this book because I was like, wow, you know, Lord, let me, you know, and sometimes the enemy try to bring guilt, shame, and condemnation where, oh, you done messed up, you won't, I'm back on track. And I thank God that I needed this to abide and to come and to come away from where I was to where I needed to be to realize that this was so important. And it might be a 30-day, one-day devotion, but as we abide in Christ, it's an everyday, day by day. We live, we breathe it, and we walk in it. And that's what I wanted to say. It was just awesome.
And you know what? And this is what this sharing is supposed to do. And one of the things we keep saying, and I keep hearing it, and as we're studying in CCTI, God is the one that is in charge of our spiritual growth and development. It is Him.
Right.
It is Holy Spirit who, if you will, is the sergeant at arms. And when we go astray, He gets us back on track. And so we need to stop beating ourselves up saying, oh, I should have, I didn't, I did this, I didn't. And it's okay to confess that which we did in disobedience. But in the process, it is God's timing of our process. We could not have picked this book up 3 years ago and done anything with it that we're going to do with it now. It was for this season. And it's our physical, you know, you have a yearly physical. And you go to the doctor and he examines, he do all kinds of take tests, da da da, say this. We should have a yearly spiritual physical, if you will, or a yearly spiritual, as we are, through the Word of God, brought to a place of, this is where God has me, open my eyes so that I see where I am, and in every season, feed me according to that which I need as the good shepherd. And that's why I love the process of all the studies that have come before this book, because it laid the foundation. But it also kept telling us it was the It was the Savior. It was the Redeemer. It was the Good Shepherd. It was the Good Teacher. It is the Husbandman. That's who is in charge. The vine does to the branch. The branch doesn't do for the vine. So the branch only receives what the vine gives it. We keep wanting to give the vine our goodness or our whatever. All we have to do, as he said, is abide, but we have to understand that that abiding cannot be that vital connection. And that's why I said nothing can separate you from the love of God, and yet everything in its power does at some point distract us from the fact that God loves us, especially our adversity, especially sickness and illness and trouble and financial. They cause us to either we run to him because we can't do anything else, but it doesn't bring us joy. He said, come in joy for the opportunity to seek on his answer. You know, but that's not the way we look at it, because we're looking at it on a temporal basis. So I love the way step by step he shows us where we have faltered with one another, because we were basically relationally dysfunctional, and we are. And it's that has to be healed. Yes, ma'am.
I think, too, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I don't know if it was in class, but too, when you said when we come to the Lord, you know, well, when I was coming up, maybe they're still doing it today, and I'm listening, but, you know, like, it's almost like come to the Lord for what he can do for you.
Exactly.
You know? And I think that has hindered the abiding as well, because you're looking at what God can do for you. You know, you're always telling him or asking him what you want, you know, for what you want, what you need, and sometimes that you think you need, you really don't need it. It's just a want.
Absolutely.
But those things, I believe, hinders the abiding, because when he doesn't or look like he doesn't come through, then the person is feels like, you know, God has forsaken them, or he didn't come through. Like, I can use my own self as an example that disturbed me, and I'm not sure if I have really fully come, and maybe that's why he keeps bringing it back to the to the grip. Sometimes I think I have, but then it still comes back when I said that I believed, or I thought I believed, that, you know, he would raise my daughter up from her sick bed. And so that was kind of rather devastating to me when it didn't take place. I believe that, you know, if you ask him anything, you ask him, he'll do it, you know. And so that shows right there I didn't have the full understanding that you know, I'm asking him to do it. He got to do it, because he said if I ask, you know, and I thought I was believing. But at that time, back then, you know, 77, 1977, that was my, you know, understanding or my whatever. And so that part, when I was saying when injured and things come, I think, or I know, that affects the abiding. The closeness,
and again,
staying close to him, you know.
Right. And again, that's because what are we taught when we come? And that's why I was sharing the fact that some of the things that he brings up is indicating, you know, where we fall down as individual ministries and Christians and teachers and pastors and leaders, because that scripture has more to it. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, it is,
mm-hmm.
He'll answer. He'll give you the desire of your heart. When
mm-hmm.
he, you, it's not, well, you know, but that's, it is conditional. And we don't want people to think, you know, we want people to come to Christ. And yet we feel
mm-hmm.
like it's almost like if we say it this way, then you'll come. And, yeah, they will
yes,
come.
Yes, ma'am.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like many are called, but few really are chosen because they haven't,
mm-hmm.
they have not lended themselves to the process. And if it's because you're not planted in the right house in order to receive it, or, you know,
yes,
then
ma'am.
You're not going to get the teaching
mm-hmm.
that you're going to need to maintain it. And so that
mm-hmm.
teaching, that fellowship, these are all elements that have to be present. Because that's what it says in this 15th chapter of John, 1-12. It lists the things that have to happen in order for the
mm-hmm.
abiding to come. So we're going to
mm-hmm.
have to turn. Things are going to be cut off. If we kick against the prick and we don't let it cut off, then we're not abiding.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to. We don't. That's because we have an earthly view. We don't have a God's
yes,
eye view. Have a
mm-hmm.
we're carnal in our emotions because we do
yes.
we have love
yes.
that you know we want to you know those that are sick, those that are you know in trouble, those are you know even parents with their children, you know, and that was one of
mm-hmm.
the first things God had to show me was the fact that trouble in your child is a good thing
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
it lets them learn to come to Him, not to you. And so
mm-hmm.
this is that, and then you can have that child that doesn't give you a bit of trouble. That child is so wounded because the trouble that's in them has not been revealed, so it has not been dealt with. Okay,
yeah,
it's been
yeah,
denied.
Yeah.
And that's where that self-righteousness, that's where that perfectionist come from. And those are people that are the most difficult to get healed emotionally, and they don't have good relationships. And so they don't have a good
mm-hmm.
physical relationship. They're not going to have a good relationship with God because they're going to feel
right.
they have to do it, and you cannot do it. We cannot do it. It has to be the husband.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be the good shepherd. And all we do, and that's one of the joys for me, is the fact that
mm-hmm.
we really don't have to do anything. You know, and he said, oh, yeah, you do, Miss. Oh, yeah. You know, you have to obey, which means you have to trust. But that means
yes.
you have to know. And so it's that learning, it's that knowledge that we get. That's the thing. How many times we don't want to read, we don't want to do the homework, we don't do the homework. You know, the spiritual life work that we're given, we kick against it and we don't do it. And yet it's the very thing that we need to be successful in what we're really trying to do. So instead we try to live our life our way instead of if you put life on hold and do your life work, life will happen right, and you wouldn't have done a thing to it, you know. And so
yes,
it's even sleep. I know the times if we, well, I was in Kingdom Church and a young man was, I was saying, you know, you saying about, you know, God don't help you when you really need him because you need him for a test. You ain't got time to wait on him. I said, excuse me, do you know who owns time? And so these are things you, and he's like, what you talking about? These are things, because we don't know, we figure God can't do, you know, he can't,
yeah.
I got a glass bell going to ring in 5 minutes. He can make 5 minutes last for 2 years, okay?
Yeah.
I said, and he can give you the answers before you even get in the class if you would just quiet your mind and listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's these things that we're not taught to honor and to, and you know what, one of the questions on the test in CCTI, was what do you have to do? And it says you have to recognize and acknowledge God. We will acknowledge God all day long, but we do not recognize him first. And so there's a lot of things that we look at. We don't attribute it to him. We attribute it to us or Satan or
right.
world. You've got to recognize when it is the hand of God moving on in your life. And we as Christians need to know it is always the hand of God. Because we are in his hands. So as with Job, if Satan comes, that's because God's hand opened up, and it's okay. It's okay. Just like
yes,
Job said, it hurts. Yeah, it's a physical
mm-hmm.
a response, but the spirituality mm-hmm. of it, but that's physical response, that is earthly. The spiritual response
yes.
is what is eternal, which is why I say that, you know, I don't think we really, it's so hard for the human mind to wrap itself around eternity. It's just
yes.
something that only through Holy Spirit and spiritual growth and development can you get to that place where you can wrap your mind around eternity. I know that it's like that song that says, you know, for 10,000 years, you know, we'll just thank him, and then that's just the beginning. That's not even the beginning. That's like a drip in the drop. Oh, okay.
But,
Minister
Paulette.
Years. Oh, my God. You know, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, you know, when you think about eternity, I think, you know, we look at it and we say, oh, we'll dwell with him forever. And, you know, but I'm not sure if we really understand how to, I don't know how to say it.
I understand what you're saying. And you know what? This is what he tells us. He tells us we don't. When we say, you know, we'll dwell with him forever,
mm-hmm.
and it's what we say is what the words say. We read those words. We don't understand what dwell means. Number one, we don't understand what forever means. Number two,
mm-hmm.
but the whole thing is, if you can't dwell with him the way you should here, you're not going to want
uh-huh.
to be in.
Uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
you don't want heavenly things on earth. You don't want them.
Uh-huh.
You want earthly things. That's why our prayers are for earth. I'm not saying everything we do is wrong. No. But I'm just saying that our focus has to change. The bar has to rise to God's standard. Because the things that we value here on earth
uh-huh.
are earthly. I'll say 50% of the time, not even all the time, but just 50% of the time the things we value are earthly. And in heaven, 100% of the things are heavenly. There is nothing that is earthly about heaven. And so that's why when they started asking him about, well, who will I be married to? You're talking earthly stuff. The Bible says the bride of Christ. You're worried about who you married to. You're the bride of Christ. And he's going to have a dinner for you. And you want to know which one of these husbands I got down here is going to be mine up there. None. Okay.
But
okay.
I think the problem with, it, like you say, the earthly and the eternally, I think in them thinking of those two things, thinking of earthly every day, and then I guess trying, I don't know how to say it, but I guess your focus is more on the earthly because you're here now than on the eternally, although you know there's to be an eternally. But you're really not focusing on that eternally because you're trying to live for now, and you're not thinking about the eternally part, even though you want the eternally part, and he and his promise and his word. But I don't think our mind really focus on that part. I know mine.
And you know, and I think if we look at the first church, if we look at the first church in Acts, if we look at our list in our spiritual discipline book on the ministry of one another, okay, when we look at the martyring of the saints and what they knew was ahead for them, but they said, and Revelation said, that they overcome by the word of their testimony,
right,
the blood of Jesus, but by not caring about this life.
Right.
They didn't, you know, that's how, that, and that's the only way we're going to overcome. You know, and somebody, if you can't get that scripture for me, because it's that last phrase that is the key to all of the everything that comes before it. And what that's saying is they don't mind, they didn't mind dying for Christ. If someone walked up to me today and said, if you don't deny Christ, I'm going to shoot you. You know what I would do? Yeah, I would deny Christ. Because then I would say, he'll forgive me later. But I would, because that's where I would be, I believe. I don't know, maybe. But I'm thinking, okay? Or that he'll take my child and burn him or something. I don't know. Because that's what they did. And these people knew, that's all right, I'll see him in the resurrection. We're going to be together. So it does, do anything you want to me now. Because this is the dream. When I wake up, I'm going to be in heaven. Thank you. And so, but we're not there. And I understand that. And I understand that it's just that passion to getting there is to getting the understanding of that. And that's what we should be ascribing to. That's what we should be. That's the mark that we're pressing toward. And so we have not, Paul said, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Paul certainly is not there yet. But I want to. That's the mark I want to press for. So first I need to know there is a mark that's different from the ones that a lot of times I was pressing toward. I don't want that mark anymore. I want this mark. I want to learn of him. I want to see his power, you know, and I love it because when he shared it in the book, and that actually is the next one, but, he says, learn of me. Because I am meek. The world doesn't want someone meek. That means weak to them. The world doesn't want someone lowly. That means cowardly. They want someone who will fight, not surrender. But God wants lowly, meek, and surrender. And so it wasn't the thing that we naturally came to. That was the whole problem of Christ when he came. The Jewish nation was looking for a powerful leader, not a lowly servant. They weren't looking for somebody that wasn't going to say nothing. They wasn't looking for somebody that wanted to surrender and help people and love their enemy. No, they wanted him to come down like he's going to come down the next time and end it all, okay? Everything that ain't right is gone, and it's gone to hell forever. That's what they were looking for. And that's generally what we see, someone to destroy our enemy. But he said, no, pray for them, because if they destroy now and go to hell, what if they don't? You pray for them, and then they can go to heaven. So the most important thing is to getting as many to honor and worship our Savior as we humanly can. And that means at every turn, crucifying our flesh, embracing the true ministry of one another, surrendering to the husbandry as he circumcises and cuts off our flesh, to the shepherd as he takes us to the places that are scary, but trusting and looking to him, because now we understand, especially after the journey of the sheep, that we do want to abide in him, because he's a good thing. And he loves us, and he has everything that we need, not even that we know to want, but that we need. He will provide it. And that's what this author is bringing us into the revelation, opening our eyes to see this new, and it's not new, but it is a new level of living. You know, it's not just coming to him on Sunday or coming to him during our prayer and fasting time and then getting up going about life. But rather it's abiding there, and life can happen around me because this is where I am. You know, so I don't have, just like Elder Deborah was saying, they had the safe place. What do you call that zone? The where you could go to.
Oh, the decompression room.
What you call
room.
It?
It was called the decompression room. Can I add one thing onto
yes.
the conversation?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, actually, I want to add two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, Murray says in the book, he gives four reasons that he feels that people don't abide. And he says some of it is that they never understood that this was the meaning of the Savior's call. So some people just didn't get it, just don't understand that they're supposed to abide.
Right.
And with others, that though they heard the word, they didn't know that such a life of abiding fellowship was possible and within their reach. Like, you know, I don't really know how to get it. I heard it, but I can't make a mental ascent for me. It says, others will say that though they did believe that such a life was possible and seek after it, they never succeeded in discovering the secret of its attainment. They never figured out how to actually get it. And then lastly, it says, and others will confess that it's their own unfaithfulness that has kept them from the enjoyment of this blessing. And as I listen to you and as I listen to the ministers and the elders as they have been sharing, I think, in my opinion, I know I fall in the last group. Not so much that you don't ever do it, but it's not so much that, because we are mature saints. We have read, we probably have enough material in our homes individually, if we put them together collectively, that we could fund a third world country somewhere. You know, just, you know, ridiculous amounts of information about what God says and what God requires. And I think that sometimes we overthink it. And when we pull it back, when we take that onion back apart that the apostle had taught on, that it gets down to love. What does it look like in everyday life, going through our life, all those one another's of belonging to one another and teaching one another and agreeing with them one another and looking out for one another. And that just comes back to a choice. We don't have to have another Bible study, in my opinion, for those kinds of things. Right now, at this point in a lot of the saints' lives, not everybody, because I can't speak for everybody, it is a matter of making those choices to be agreeable when people are disagreeable, or pushing forward when my flesh is lazy and distracted, you know, for holding my tongue or for just being focused on the situations that arise, because every opportunity that we interact or everyone that intersects with another brother or sister gives us another opportunity to love. And that abiding is that we're loving the brother. You know, how will they know that we are disciples? By loving the brother. We know how to love the brother. We choose who we love. Some people we love on graciously and abundantly and lavishly. And other people, you know, we kind of, as they used to say, you know, feet with a long-handled spoon. I think it's the matter of us understanding and knowing and then actually the doing, not only being hearers, but, you know, but doers of the word. You know, that is my prayer as we go through this Lenten season of reflection and you know, and renewal, you know, regeneration, confession, I guess, to do that better and to do it with a focus and to do it continually. And I think that's what the, you know, that's what the Lord is asking us. And as we go through life situations, then our will lines up with Elder McIntyre was talking about, what do you do when you find yourself in those places where your desire and God's will don't seem to be lining up, you know, to be in a place of abiding so that we hear his voice so clearly that we understand that sometimes our will is not his will in the situation, but he is such a gracious and loving God that not only being the God of all comfort, but showing us how his will has been manifest even when it doesn't appear on one level to be lining up with our heart's desires, that there is all things, you know, working together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, you know.
And I, you know, and I just want to say this, and the fourth thing, you know, you saying that, you know, you felt relate to you, and it relates to all of us, but the author then goes to say that when the Savior would have kept them, they were not found ready to stay.
Yes.
Not prepared. They were not prepared to give up something or to give up everything and always only wholly to abide in Christ. So they weren't prepared. So it is a constant process. So even at the stage but at the stage of the number four, there still is a preparation that Holy Spirit is going to send us through and to get to that place. It's his job, and he's going to do it.
Right, from glory to glory to glory.
Absolutely. And we may be lazy, we may be a whole lot of things, but those are issues that he is going to bring conviction, and we are going to receive it. And the reason we know that is because God said it. He said he will perfect those things concerning us. And so there is a preparation even now in this season that even seasoned saints have to go through. There is a preparation. That's what Job went through. That was he through his adversity, he was being prepared to really get to a new place that he had never been in Christ, in God. And that's what we're doing. We have to be prepared to get into a new place of abiding because we're in him. We've been engrafted. That was dust when we came. And so now it's that fruit that's going to come forth from that constant flow from the vine to us. It is impossible for the vine to constantly flow through the branch and the branch not come forth, because otherwise it would be denying the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And there is nothing that it cannot and will not overpower in those that love and believe him. And because we have come, that has been our heart's cry. And because that's our heart's cry, God will make it happen. I won't say make it, but it is his. He is committed to perfecting it in us and sealing us with Holy Spirit until we are presented. And so it needs to. And one of the things that I want to read this today out of, and I love these little devotional books that, because this is how we can abide in him. Jesus Calling, this is by Laura Young. Thank you so much, Elder, who gave it to me. And it says, stop judging and evaluating yourself, for this is not your role. Above all, stop comparing yourself with other people. This produces feelings of pride or inferiority, sometimes a mixture of both. I lead each of my children along a path that is uniquely tailor-made for him or her. Comparing is not only wrong, it is meaningless. Don't look for affirmation in the wrong places, your own evaluation or those of other people. The only source of real affirmation is my unconditional love. Many believers perceive me as an unpleasable judge, angry, searching out their faults and failures. Nothing could be further from the truth. I died for your sins so that I might clothe you in my garment of salvation. This is how I see you, radiant in my robe of righteousness. When I discipline you, it is never in anger or disgust. It is to prepare you for face-to-face fellowship with me throughout all eternity. Immerse yourself in my loving presence. Be receptive to my affirmation, which flows continually from the throne of grace. And that so profoundly reflects the process or the heart of Christ to bring us through this process of abiding. And it just brings us, I think, to a perfect close for today's session. because it stirs up a lot of things of thinking, and we want to just bask in his presence so that Holy Spirit can bring these truths and teach us. That's just, this is mm-hmm. teaching.
That was a great word of encouragement. Great word of encouragement. God bless
and
you.
And it's the word of rest. Don't your soul rest when you hear that?
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
You know what? I have proved you in my unconditional love. His love is unconditional. And we just ain't used to a love like that. We don't know that kind of love. But he will make sure that we have that kind of love. And so I do. I thank God. I thank God for these Christian writers, for this. I don't know if he's alive or not, but Andrew Murray. And Sarah,
I think he has passed away.
Okay. Well, I thank God for his life. I do. I thank these saints for putting this stuff, you know, in writing. And I know it was not an easy task, and yet they surrendered to it so that we could be blessed and get to a place. Because for them, it was all about us, not about them.
They made
that sacrifice so we could get this truth. And I thank God. I thank God for you, Elder, bringing this to the forefront for our season of, as they say, Lent. So they can call it Lent, but this is our season of life change and our yearly physical, spiritual, you go to the doctor for your physical, we go into the word for our spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Comments,
insights. Minister Paulette.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems like our CCTI, our biblical studies, it seems like it's aligning. Everything is aligning up together. Even when we were doing the other studies. With the shepherds, it just seems like the Lord is allowing everything to line up together. We're in our studies, where it's given an outlook in every area. So He wants us to get it.
Absolutely, yeah. We're gonna get it because He's gonna give it to us. And you know what I love about this, and I read this, and I thank God for a pastor. Books and the read through the Bible, and I was reading about Moses, and he was overwhelmed by what was going on, and the Lord said, okay, get the men from every tribe, and I think it was 70 of them or something, of your leaders, and bring them and consecrate them, and I'm going to give them some of your spirit and anointing. And he did, and yet two didn't come. And he said when they did and they got it, they prophesied. They prophesied, and that was the only time that these leaders prophesied. And so one of the people came from out of the camp and said, there's two more leaders in the camp prophesying. Make them stop. And God told them, no, their name was on the list. So I don't care where they are. They didn't come to the tent of meeting, but they still got it. Okay. So it doesn't matter where we are. We're going to get it, okay? And the world going to know we have it. Okay, and that's the wonderful part of God's grace and his mercy, you know, that wherever we are, he's going to make sure we get what we're supposed to have, what our destiny is. He was on, those two men were on the list, and even though they didn't come to be consecrated and anointed, they still got the anointing, and they was in the middle of the camp. So we need to realize, even when we don't make the class, God will bring it up on the TV, he'll bring it up. All around us, however, but it'll get to us. And I do encourage individuals to get some kind of daily little reading that, you know, maybe two or three paragraphs, because they're so powerful and they're so encouraging. And so we do, we just praise and we thank God for Christian artists as well as authors. Absolutely, and pray that our pastor will join that number as well. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anymore?
Speak those things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right,
so thank you all.
Have a blessed day.
Absolutely. as you are. All right?
Amen. Hallelujah.